Tonight we're still looking at various passages throughout the book of Ruth, but the lesson is on applying godly protection. We live in the latter days of church history as seen in the exponential growth of sin in our society. Thus the concern can arise as to how godly believers might obtain godly marital partners in our era. The courtship of godly Boaz and Ruth occurred in the apostate era of the Judges, according to Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. So we study the book of Ruth on godly courtship for our era, noting in this lesson the value of applying godly protection. The book of Ruth actually used to be part of the book of Judges, but they separated because there's such a contrast between especially the last several chapters of Judges and then the book of Ruth. And rightfully so, I believe, because it demonstrates a tremendous contrast between the blessing that God gave to godly people versus the trouble that was came upon the people who were ungodly in the nation at the time. Anyway, Boaz and Ruth met in a dangerous era of the period of the Judges, what required especially Boaz to exert protective measures for Ruth. However, Ruth was also protective of Boaz. Very interesting. So we view the godly protective initiatives that both Boaz and Ruth exerted for one another in their courtship. Boaz applied a variety of godly protective measures for Ruth. In Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, when Ruth unknowingly chose Boaz's field to begin her gleaning work, Boaz realized that the Lord had led her to his field, and he told her to keep gleaning at his field for her physical protection. I want to read that. Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from here, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when you are thirsty, you go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that you should take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It has been fully shown me all that you have done unto your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your nativity and are come unto a people which you did not know until now. The Lord pay you back for your work, and a full reward be given to you of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to trust." She had trusted the Lord, and the Lord had brought her under his wings. He recognized that because he had brought her to his field. He was a godly man, and he was going to look out for her as well. Also, Boaz further physically and economically protected Ruth by having her join his work crew at lunch, that she not need to have to leave his protection in the middle of the day, and he ordered his harvesters to leave portions of harvested grain for her to use not only for food, but to trade for general livelihood needs that she and her mother-in-law Naomi needed. In verses 14 to 17, same chapter, "And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come here, eat of the bread and dip your morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched grain, and she did eat, and was satisfied and left. And when she was risen up to go glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves," that's what they've collected, "and do not reproach her. And let also some fall on the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out of what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." That'd be approximately 20 quarts. Probably couldn't carry any more of that than home. Also, it's interesting that Boaz then prolonged Ruth's physical and economic protection, telling her to stay close to her protective harvesting young men, and of course that would include the maidens, according to Ruth 2:8, through all of his grain harvests. And Ruth 2:21, "And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good that you go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast or close to the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest that goes into June, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." See, the barley harvest starts the latter part of April, goes through May, peaks in May, and then right after barley harvest comes the grain harvest of the wheat, which goes into June. So you got a couple of months here. And it's interesting that they're going along this way. Boaz, then, when Ruth needed Naomi's counsel, heeded Naomi's counsel and asked Boaz to act as her kinsman redeemer. He protected Ruth emotionally by telling her that his people viewed her as a woman of noble character. Notice chapter 3, verse 11. This is after Ruth has approached him about being the near kinsman. And verse 10, he had said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness in the latter end," in other words, in choosing to marry him rather than somebody younger, "than at the beginning, as much as you did not follow the young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do unto thee all that thou hast required, for all the city of my people do know that you are a virtuous woman." The word virtuous here actually means a noble woman. She's held in very high regard. So he's telling Ruth this so to set her at ease. It's not that he feels that he's above her and she's too below just because she's a foreigner, but he highly regards her, and his people highly regard her as well. She's highly thought of in the city of Bethlehem, where she's come from, where she's staying at that particular time. Boaz also protected Ruth mentally and emotionally by vowing in God's name to make sure that she was protected by marriage, either to the nearest kinsman or to himself. Verse 12, "And now it is true," chapter 3, "that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman who is nearer than I am. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto you the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth." He's swearing by the Lord's name. "So lie down until morning." And then, meanwhile, Boaz twice in this conversation told Ruth not to leave the threshing floor when she visited them there, due to the danger of her trying to return to Naomi in the dark at that time in Israel. And then, to protect Ruth from gossip, Boaz told her not to tell anyone except Naomi, of course, that she had come to the threshing floor that night. Verse 14, "And he said, let it not be known that a woman came to the floor." Of course, he knew that Naomi would know that, but he didn't want anybody else to know that. He's protecting Ruth. He's also protecting himself from gossip and slander. Boaz also emotionally and mentally protected Ruth and Naomi by giving Ruth much grain to take to Naomi as assurance that he would quickly settle the issue of Ruth's request to him in verses 14 and 15. He put about 60 pounds of grain on her, and she went, and he apparently had to pick it up and put it on her head because it was too much for her to lift herself, but she could carry it on her head. When I was in Africa, I saw African women carrying bundles of sticks that were about 5 feet in diameter. They were sticks, they weren't logs, on their heads. And they were very, very thin, not an ounce of fat on them at all. And they worked because they were responsible for doing the cooking. They also had to get the firewood. And so they had these huge bundles of wood on their heads. And so Ruth would have been very fit at this point. She was a very strong young woman. Then, though Ruth heeded Boaz's directive that she lay at his feet until the morning, applied godly protection to Ruth to protect Boaz's reputation as well. Before I do that, let me catch myself up here. Ultimately, Boaz permanently protected Ruth and Naomi's livelihood and social status by keeping his vow to take Ruth as his wife and by her to sire Obed in preserving Elimelech's line. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 12 deals with his interaction with the people of the city. And then in verse 13, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son." And of course, the son was King David's grandfather, Obed. And it's fascinating how he kept his promise. And he protected Ruth, and he also protected Naomi, since she was her mother-in-law. So he protected the family at that point. Then Ruth applied God the protection to protect Boaz's reputation in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Naomi had advised Ruth to wash and anoint herself, to put on fine clothes along with a warm night cloak, since she would be sleeping out of doors, and go to the threshing floor, but not to make herself known to Boaz until he had reclined and gone to sleep by his grain pile. She didn't want Ruth to appear with the other people. She wanted to make sure everybody was lying down and sleeping. And then after he was lying down and sleeping, then she was supposed to go very quietly. And she would lie at his feet perpendicular. He'd be lying this way, she'd be lying this way. She was supposed to uncover his feet, which would make his feet get cold. He would eventually wake up because, you know, when you don't have a cover on, your sleep, your body temperature goes down. And when he woke up, he'd look down at his feet because his feet were bare, and he'd see something beyond his feet. He'd see this young woman, and of course he'd be startled. And that was by design. But anyway, Naomi had then advised Ruth to uncover Boaz's feet, what would eventually cause him to awaken due from the cold. And then he would recognize her, and she could make her petition to him. This was all planned to protect Boaz and Ruth from unwanted gossip about Ruth's making a right night rendezvous with Boaz at the threshing floor. Ruth heeded Naomi's advice, protecting Boaz while seeking to be presentable to him. And though Ruth heeded Boaz's directive that she lay at his feet until the morning, she arose before anyone could discern her presence, and that guarded Boaz and herself from unjust gossip. It's interesting that she didn't wait until the sun was up. No way. She wanted to get out of there before she made difficulty for him. So, verse 14 of chapter 3, she lay at his feet until morning, and she rose up before one could know one another. This is before the sun was up. It was probably just as dawn was just beginning to break. She got up. She wanted to hightail it out of there. And, of course, Boaz, he might not have slept that much, you know, because of what was going through his head about what he was going to do the next day. So he got up immediately, too, and gave her the grain. And then when Ruth returned to Naomi with the gift of grain from Boaz, Naomi realized that the gift was Boaz's signal that he that day would address the legal matter of Ruth's request of a kinsman redeemer. In chapter 3, it's interesting, in verse 13, Boaz said, "Tarry this night, and it shall be that in the morning, if he will perform unto thee." He was going to get this done in the morning. And so he would know that day, probably in the morning, and he could convey that information to Ruth quite early, by midday at the least, as to what was the status of the situation. Well, Naomi thus told Ruth to sit still and let Boaz handle the matter. And this is very interesting. Verse 16, she came to her mother-in-law and she said, "Who art thou, my daughter, or how's it going?" And she told her all that the man had done to her, and she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he to me, or grain actually, he gave to me. Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Now that's very interesting, because technically Ruth could have gone and presented her case before the elders of the town, because she legally had that right, because she needed to have the kinsman redeemer function in her behalf so that the law would be fulfilled. But she's being sensitive, and Naomi's being sensitive to the rule and the respect that is needed to be given to Boaz, because if she's going to marry Boaz, he's got to be the leader in the relationship. So that's why Ruth approaches him privately and very respectfully as much as she can, shares with him. He signals, "I'll take it from here." And Naomi says, "You let him take it from here. Don't you get involved. You stay home." So Ruth heeded Naomi. She stayed at her residence and waited for Boaz to act on her behalf in court before the town leaders. In this way, she protected Boaz's leadership role as her potential future husband, instead of taking her case before the town leaders and thus upstaging Boaz and violating his role as her rightful head. It's interesting, 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "The man is the head of the woman. Christ is the head of the man, and God the Father is the head of Christ." There is an order, an arrangement that God has set up there. So both Boaz and Ruth exerted godly protection of each other in their courtship experience. So may believers in their courting experience exert wise protective actions towards one another. That's one of the ways to demonstrate love and care for another person, is to be protective of them. And that's what Ruth was doing here. That's what Boaz certainly was doing. Of course, Boaz was in the driver's seat, being a man and a wealthy man and a landowner. But he saw that as his responsibility before the Lord. And Ruth saw it as her responsibility, too, to be protective of him and not to become an unnecessary lead weight to him. Very interesting.